This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There's a story of a young boy that was once on the beach. The water or the high tide didn't come in, or it came in and then dissipated quickly until several starfish were left on the beach. Tens or hundreds, Allah knows best. Now we know starfish, if they're out of water, what happens to them? They dry up, right? So this little boy is picking up the starfish and throwing them one by one into the water. Throwing them one by one into the water. So he's throwing starfish back into the water. This is what he's doing. So this corporate tycoon person comes to him and says, "What are you doing, young man?" "So I'm throwing the starfish in the water so they don't die." He says, "But there's so many starfish. What's the point? You're not going to get all the starfish." So whilst he's talking, this young boy is holding a starfish in his hand. And this person is saying, "What benefit are you causing? You're wasting time. You're not going to get them all in." So he looked at his starfish in his hand and he threw it in the water. And he told the man, the corporate man, the knowledgeable man, "Go ask that starfish what he thinks of what I'm doing." Because that starfish was saved, right? So we can make an impact. Even if it's small, we can. We shouldn't globalize matters such that we cause ourselves to become claustrophobic and shut out to it. Especially in this day and age, brothers and sisters. We know Islamophobia. We know people who are Muslims misrepresenting Islam. They misrepresent Islam. They're coming on the media and giving messages that, "Wallahi, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here, Allah knows best, he would shut these messages down." They don't conform to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his messenger. This is the time when we need to stop globalizing and just remaining passive. And as people who know and know that we know and know what's right from wrong, need to speak out and educate the ummah that this fringe type of messages that come out from Muslims who have become misguided does not represent Islam. Islam is what's in the Quran and what is the Sunnah. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. I've left with you two things. If you hold steadfast upon them both, you will never ever go astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah. This is what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm shocked at some of the youth and their thought processes at the moment, without going deeper into the discussion because it's beyond the scope of this class. But I am absolutely shocked at it, wallahi. Firstly, it's a sign of the times and how our youth are switched on. But secondly, how vulnerable they are and how gullible they are, and how the internet has brought that which is far closer, and they read and accept anything they read irrespective of source. We have to educate our children, brothers and sisters. This is the time, and we discussed this yesterday, we'll talk about ilm. Remember I said, how many times can you listen to talks about being a good husband and being a good wife and being a good in-law and don't be an outlaw? And so on. And how many times do we want nasiha? Let's learn that which gives us iman boosts daily. How? By learning true knowledge. But we need to stop plucking at the trees and start working on the roots. Remember that statement I shared with you in the earlier episodes? So much nasiha. We spend thousands of dollars. This sheikh, why? Because he's a famous sheikh. He fills up the masjid to come and talk about what? Same topics. We're not saying it's not important, but as we said yesterday, there has to be a balance between knowledge and nasiha. If all the talks are on nasiha, what's going to happen? Wallahi, I came across a brother in my da'wah, a young boy. He tells me himself, he goes, "You know what? I was a great follower of the Facebook sheikhs." And he mentioned too, he says, "I listened to every talk of this, every talk of them." Why did you listen to their talks? He says, because they speak lay. The message is lay. You know? You, Sheikh Sajid, might say in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, you know that. We don't know that book. We don't want those talks. He goes, I was a walking, talking person. The jokes these mashayikh, these speakers did and so on. And there's no blame to them. They're doing their da'wah. Everybody is doing their da'wah. If the problem is the community, that there's no vision in the community. When we invite mashayikh, we just invite the same people to do the same thing. As I said yesterday, we beat the same message out of a different box. He says, you know what? I was walking, talking. Walking, talking. These videos, these hadith, what they would say, the jokes, the statements, the everything, walking, talking. People used to think at school, I'm a sheikh. But I used to just sit and watch these talks. MashaAllah, that's good. That's good. But what happened to him? He says, I almost fell into atheism. Or in fact, I would have considered myself an atheist. He says, in class, there was a debate about the presence of God. And naturally, I was put in, naturally, I'm walking, talking. Version of YouTube, of the da'wah on YouTube, the biggest da'wah on YouTube, right? He says, I was put into a class, I was put into the team that argued for God, and I was battered down with arguments I had no response for, until I started doubting myself for months. And then he came to my course in Dubai, and he did ask a question. That's why my sight caught eye of this boy, because he was a young boy, and he put up his hand, he goes, Sheikh, I was teaching Surah Yusuf. And he said, Sheikh, can you tell me about objective morality? I said, Allahu Akbar, how old are you, young lad? I think he was 14 or something. Objective morality. He was confused. He's been hearing these things. Now he says, stop listening to those talks. Meaning they did benefit me, but I needed a balance. Those talks were not everything. That's what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. You know, when we talk about talks, you don't need the name of the sheikh to be the biggest thing on the banner. Right? I'm repeating because we have new faces in the audience. I like that banner there, the fiqh of food and clothing. The topic is bigger than the name of the speaker. The topic denotes the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That should be enough to take you out of your home. That should be enough. Not the person. My teachers used to tell me, and this is famous amongst the pious predecessors. Al-rijalu yu'raf bil-haq. Wal-haq la yu'raf bil-rijal. People are known by what they say, if it conforms to the Quran and the Sunnah. And the truth is not known by the one who says it. It's not that this person said it, so it must be the truth. No. We benchmark what he said against what the Quran and the Sunnah says. If it's good, we accept it. If it's not, we reject it. Right? I don't want to take yesterday's session in. Please go back and revise it. It's online. And I'm speaking to you from my heart. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying the application is wrong. The mashayikh, it's their right to teach. And every sheikh has his style. Every propagator has his style. But you as a community, understand what you need. You need more ilm than nasiha. Yes, we need nasiha, dinu nasiha. But you understand when I say nasiha, I mean the generic topics of how to be a good husband and how to respect your parents. And the generic, this is important. But you will get there if you took solid ilm in the first place. You wouldn't need someone to come tell you to come clip your leaves if your roots were in order. I'm shocked at the statement of some of the youth here about events in Iraq at the moment, and they thought processes about it. It needs to be sorted out. And that's why in the Jummah khutbah I said, you need to start going to learn the book of Iman and the book of Fitn, and go find a trustworthy, knowledgeable sheikh and say, you know what? This book from Sahih al-Bukhari, teach it to me. Kitab al-Iman, teach it to me. Kitab al-Fitn, teach it to me. Yes, it sounds boring. Kitab al-Iman. You know, as we said yesterday, the names have to be modified. Right? I told that's it's true. When I came here, let me say it for the brothers that were not here yesterday. I told, they said, what are we learning? I said, fiqh al-Sirah. I said, sheikh, that won't... Fiqh al-Sirah, nobody will come. You know, blast from the past, yes. People will come. Let's cut all the nonsense out. Right? Let's understand this ilm doesn't need us, we need it. And this ilm has an aura and importance. It's either you get on the bandwagon or you stay behind. It has an aura and importance. Respect it. It's the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fact that you love him should push you towards that knowledge, because that's the closest thing you have to him, because that's what he left behind. That's what he left behind. Subhanallah. I'm amazed by the people who say, you know, this was the slipper of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's in this museum, and this is the hair, and so on and so forth. And where are you from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That which is dearer than his slipper, subhanallah. The ilm that was revealed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he left behind, touch it, and you've touched him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to pull the cloak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Pull the knowledge, that's what he left behind. You want to run with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Run with his ilm, you'll be running with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to have a sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sit with his ilm, you'll have a sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, this is a sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Metaphorically, of course, but you understand what I'm saying. May Allah gather us with him in Jannah. Ameen. Ameen. So, I was telling the young impressionable youth, go and find a teacher to teach you Kitabul Iman and Kitabul Fitr. This is the time when you learn what's right from what's wrong, and stop reading social media telling you this is how it is and this is how it isn't. Theories popping up from everywhere. As I said in the khutbah, from every Muhammad, Yusuf and Hussein. Everybody is giving their views. No. Go and learn what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's view was. We're sidetracking a bit, but nonetheless an important point. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, that we are allowed to praise somebody to his face. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say that if somebody praises you, throw sand in his face. But here we see Khadija radiallahu anha praising Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our scholars joined between the narratives, joined between what we have from the seerah and the sunnah, and they taught us that the praise which is not allowed is when you butter a person. When you butter them, you know, say, brother, mashallah, you lost so much weight, it must be 20 kilos. And you don't even believe he's lost weight. Right? Trying to butter somebody. This is haram. This is not allowed. Right? Or when you overpraise somebody, you give him titles and things which he isn't. Right? The most amazing, the undisputed, the. We start giving them titles, but they're nothing of this. This praise is haram. But if you mention something that is praiseworthy, but you're not saying it as praise, you're not saying it to make the person arrogant, you're saying it as a fact, this is allowed. What she said about him, radiallahu anha, about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she said, you maintain the bonds of kinship. I hope you did your homework and listened to that talk. Did you find it? You didn't look. Maintain the bonds of kinship. You look after the poor, you look after the needy, you help those in distress. It's praising, but it's a fact. Like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the best of the children of Adam. I am the head and the best. Wala fakhar. And it's not, I'm not praising myself. This is fact. I'm telling you that I am. Allah has told me that I am. This is fact. Allah has made me the best. Wala fakhar. I'm not saying it arrogantly out of praise. I'm stating a fact. So we learn that we are allowed to praise. And the reason why I'm citing this, brothers and sisters, because today, we only criticize. This is what we do. Criticize. Subhanallah, it's as if we ran away from praising somebody and fell into another hole. There's the middle way. We shouldn't praise lying and we shouldn't criticize only. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you speak in a just way. If you mention somebody's bad, also mention their good. Right? If you mention somebody's bad, also mention they're good. This is from being just. And when you mention they're good and it's true about them, this praise is permissible. This praise is permissible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, and this is a powerful message for all of us here, that if you intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fasten your seatbelt and get ready for the turbulence that you're going to fly into. It's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever wants to walk the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the anbiya, that they will face opposition. Because Allah made this a universal law for his anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 112, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوا فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and thus we have made for every prophet an enemy. From mankind only? No, from jinnkind as well. From the devils of the jinn. We've made enemies for this prophet. This is the sunnah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inspiring to one another decorative speech in delusion. But if your Lord had willed, they would not have done this. Meaning it's the sunnah of Allah that they're doing it. Allah willed that He tests. He tests those who want to walk the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, so leave them and that which they invent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا مِّنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and thus we have made for every prophet an enemy from among the criminals. But sufficient is your Lord. Sufficient is your Lord as a guide and helper. This is what we do, brothers and sisters, in the da'wah. We turn to Allah. When the shayateen and mankind who wish evil for us close our right and close our left and stand in front of us and block our behind, and at the bottom we have the ground, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above. Allah is enough for us as a guide and as a helper. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the message of shaytan. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaytan tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he was expelled that I'm going to attack them from the front and from behind and from their right and from their left, and you will see many of them are not thankful. Many of them will not be from those who are thankful. Many of them will not recognize your blessings. But did Allah or did Shaytan say he will attack us from above? No. That is there for a believer to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Yusuf alayhi salam. وَغُلِّقَتِ الْأَبَوَابِ. The doors were shut, bolted, غُلِّق. غُلِّق, this is an intensified form of the verb. It wasn't just closed, it was bolted shut. And she said, come to me. What did he say? Everything was shut. She was in front. The door behind was locked. The windows were bolted shut. He said, Ma'ad Allah. He sought refuge in Allah. Immediately he turned to the open avenue. Understand, my dear brothers and sisters, in da'wah you will face difficulties, both from people as well as from the shayateen. And when I spoke to my team this afternoon, I said this to them, right? Shaytan is going to, he will not leave you. Shaytan will not leave you, brothers and sisters. He will not leave you, wallahi. You will become the biggest project when you intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how shaytan is. He promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is to be from the minority. Shaytan said you'll see the majority he will take with him. And Allah subhanahu, it's the sunnah that it's the minority that remains upon guidance. It's the minority that follows the prophets. Look at the Prophet, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. How many followed them and how many disbelieved? Right? The majority, and that's why this concept of the right being with the majority is not always true. Allah says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to follow the majority of people on the face of this earth, they will send you astray. Majority. Allah says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Allah takes a qasam by time and says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ. Indeed, mankind, all of mankind, this alif and lam before the noun teaches us that mankind refers to all of mankind. Lafi khusr is in a state of loss. Except for who? The minority. The minority of mankind is guided. And who are they? آمنوا, they believe. وعملوا الصالحات, and they do good deeds. وتواصوا بالحق, and they advise towards that which is true. وتواصوا بالصبر, and they advise to patience and upon patience. If you want to be a da'i, you need to have the tarbiyah of a da'i. And I say this to my team members as well. I know, mashallah, there's a revival. People want to get involved. But brothers and sisters, understand what you're getting involved in. Because what happens is, we see many, mashallah, impressionable people come into the da'wah, work with an organization, and then suffer fatigue. Or what we say, they suffer a bite, a da'wah bite. We say the da'wah bitten. They get out of the da'wah and it's become like a phobia. You tell them, get back in, subhanAllah, they have sleepless nights. Why? They didn't realize what they're getting into. Realize, number one, what you're getting into, and train yourself for it. Expect the test. Expect Allah to test you. And be holistic in understanding what is a test. Don't just think a test is, I lose my job. A test is, people will start backbiting me and going around the community and saying, don't take ilm from this person. Don't think the test will be people spoiling my name in community. One of the biggest tests you will go through is the test of your sincerity. This is the test of your sincerity. Wallahi, you will be tested. Sincerity is hard, wallahi. It's hard, especially in this da'wah age that we're just discussing, hype and fans, marketing. Sincerity is hard. Many a time we don't think of this. We don't understand how we're being tested. Sincerity, wallahi, is one of the greatest things that will be tested. To make sure you're proper. To make sure you're true when you say you intend Allah. And it's not that you intend anything else. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is it enough? Does mankind think it's enough to say, I believe? Because to be left alone because they said, I believe, and Allah won't test them? Allah is going to test your statement to see whether you walk the talk. Do you really believe? Allah tested those before. Allah says, indeed we tested those before. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And thus Allah will make manifest who truly believes. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And Allah will make manifest those who say they intend Allah, but they intend other things. They intend, they're free, they want to pass time. Got nothing better to do. I'm going because you know that organization has that sheikh. I'm not saying you should not wish to be in an organization because they have a specific sheikh or speaker. But that shouldn't be the purpose. That shouldn't be the intention. That can be a reason, but not the purpose. The purpose should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many a time we cause harm to ourselves because the intention is not in the right place. We're not benefiting from the da'wah and we start blaming the organization, start blaming the structure, start blaming the people. Then shaitan uses it as a great way to get into our system, because we open a gap in our firewall. He gets into us and he makes us start hating people in the da'wah. We start backbiting and we don't know. Allahul Musta'an. And the reason why we like this is because the intention wasn't correct in the first place. All that's happening is we're being exposed. May Allah protect us. The speaker included, first and foremost. I told you the hadith yesterday about the man who will be flung into the hellfire when he stands in front of Allah and says, I was a person of knowledge and a person of da'wah and propagation and inviting to your way. Allahul Musta'an. Allah will say, you lied. You did it for name, for fame, for whatever other reasons. And you enjoyed it. There's nothing left for you here. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَىٰ مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah is just. Allah will reward us. But He'll reward us in the dunya, so when we get to Him, we have nothing. May Allah protect us. That's why, brothers and sisters, thank Allah. When goodness comes to you, thank Allah. Thank Allah so that goodness is not reward for your worship in this dunya. And you have nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. When you do good and Allah gives you, thank Allah. Increase your tahmeed. Increase your ibadah. Increase thanking Allah for this good that He gave you so that you have storage in the hereafter. Not that it's given to you in the dunya. I had an easy life and so on and so forth. And you get to Allah and He tells you it was given to you. All those eases you had when other people were in difficulty, what do you think it was? Look at Sulaiman alayhi salam. When he talks about Allah, when he listens to this ant. Udkhulu masakinakum. Enter your homes. He can hear. Allah gave him the power to. Don't let Sulaiman and his army trample you. He smiled. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا. He smiled, right? And what did he say? This is from the blessings of Allah upon me. Why? To test me. If I will be thankful or I will disbelieve. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. He's saying this is to test me. So he's thanking Allah more. Many of us think when we're in goodness, it's all good. There's no test. Wallahi, we're being tested. وَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. What does Allah say? And as for insan, Allah says, when Allah tests him, how? By being generous and honorable to him, giving him the easy life. Allah calls it a test. We're being tested, brothers and sisters, in the good times and the easy times. In the good times to see whether we're thankful. And in the difficult times to see whether we can be patient. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Be God conscious of Allah. Don't take life for granted. Your children, your good home, financial standing, material well-being, the fact that your bills are paid and your house is paid for. Don't take it for granted. May Allah grant us the understanding. So if you intend Allah, Allah is going to test you, my dear brothers and sisters. For my brothers and sisters in the da'wah who are going through difficult times, it's a test. And you know what? To be great, you have to be pushed. You have to be pushed. Greatness is on the edge of destruction. Pushed right to the edge. You know when they say you're in an emergency? That's why it's called emergency. Because you emerge. You emerge. Wallahu a'lam. This is just a rendition. The great people come out from emergencies. Huh? Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Allah says, you anticipate getting into Jannah? Have you not looked at the examples of those before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ. They were afflicted with trials and tribulations. What barra and difficulties and that which they considered harmful. وَزُلْزِلُوا. So severe it was that the earth beneath them shook. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. The people said, and not only the people, the Rasul, the messenger said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They were on the edge, right on the edge. They said, when is the help of Allah coming? What does Allah say when they are about to topple off the edge? Allah says, there, ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. That is where Allah says, indeed the help of Allah is near. You still need to be pushed a little bit more. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's being told, your people are going to drive you out. The test is coming. Fasten your seatbelt. So if you're going through some turbulence in your da'wah, don't make it a sinful period for yourself. Emerge from it. Become better and stronger. Emerge from it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be also wise in our da'wah and create situations where people don't feel distressed. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's just poor management, right? Stressful management. I call it the cliffhanger product or manual of management. And some people read cliffhanger managerial books, wallahi, you know, where you have to keep your teams always hanging off the cliff. I'm not endorsing that. But I want to drive home my point. That you intend Allah, you're going to be tested. And how do I train myself? How do I train myself? Sheikh Sajid, you told us we need to have tarbiyah to work in the da'wah. We have to learn patience. And there's other things you have to learn, like good morals, manners and etiquettes. How do I train myself? You know where you train yourself? You know where? وَالصَّلَاةُ التَّحَجُّدُ. You know what we're doing every morning? وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالتَّفَضُّلَ فَاللَّهِ. This has to be continuous for the person who wants to work for Allah. Why do I say this? Because this was what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded to manage the turbulence he was going to get into. It wasn't 1 year, 2 years, right? Medina happened much later, brothers and sisters. 13 years in Mecca and going through 3 years da'wah in secret, 10 years open da'wah, sending the Sahaba out, Ta'if being stoned, people getting beaten for La ilaha illallah, sanctions, they were sanctioned in the valley of Abi Talib. Sanctioned. You know sanctions today? Yes, they were sanctioned. No trade, no food, no medicine. Turbulence. Wazulzilu, the earth shook beneath. How did Allah train His messenger to remain sane amidst this insanity? Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Oh, you covered in cloth, wrapped in clothes. Remember, He said, cover me, cover me. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand the night, except for a little bit. نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. Half of the night, or a little bit less than half. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Or a little bit more than half, and recite the Qur'an. Why, O Messenger? Why should you do this? Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Because we're going to reveal upon you a weighty word. It's very heavy. You have to train yourself to receive it. You have to. Especially my team members in the audience. You have to wake up 2 raka'at before Fajr. 2 raka'at, you have to. You have to, brothers and sisters. It's upon you now. I'm not saying it's wajib, but I'm saying you want to succeed, you got to take the means of success. 2 raka'at. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, how many from the Salaf said they saw people who passed away before them in their dreams? And they said, what did Allah do to you? He says, Allah forgave me. Why did Allah forgive you? For all the good you used to do? For serving the pilgrims? For giving water to so-and-so? For doing this to so-and-so? He said, no. For the fact that I read 2 raka'at. Before Fajr, just 2 raka'at every day. Allah forgave me for that. It's a general message to everybody, but especially to the da'wah workers, my Al-Kawthar team members, National Zakat Foundation, the Medina here, you specifically, and everybody else generally. You have to. Don't kid yourself. Don't be oblivion. This is not a trend. Da'wah is not a trend, brothers. Like I said, the ilm is not a trend. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. More serious than life and death. This is Jannah and Jahannam. This is your standing in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. What more do you want? As evidence to make you understand how serious this is. This is your sanity in the grave. Don't be those who just believe in the unseen lip service, but the actions don't correspond. You see, I believe in the life after death, but you live your life as if you think you're not going to die. You don't have substance in what you do. You don't remember Allah in what you do. Meetings happen, you have to be called 100 times. Why do you have to be called? Do you think the da'wah needs you? If you intend Allah, should you be called more than once? If you know what you're doing, if you know what you're doing, and you're doing it for Allah, should you be called more than once? Should you have to be told more than once? Should you have to be reminded even once? May Allah fix our understandings. Ameen. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, our time has come to an end. And I wanted to discuss with you today also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becoming a messenger. I told you, first he became a prophet with Iqra, and then later on he became a messenger. Inshallah, tomorrow we will discuss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becoming a messenger. I love you all for the sake of Allah. I never intended to scold anybody. I only intended to speak from my heart, heart to heart. People who I love for the sake of Allah. If I'm sincere when I say I love you for the sake of Allah, I must say what I said. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. May Allah accept this sitting from us and make it a means of the ibadah of these blessed nights. That it is a means of us attaining Laylatul Qadr. And as we always ask, may Allah gather us in Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can tell him how we sat together in the dunya learning from his amazing life and extracting lessons that were relevant in the century that we lived in. Ameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.